This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Invest Talk, July 31st, last day of the month for July. And because it is the last day, I have Justin Klein with me today.
Great to be here, Steve.
Is that why you're here, because it's the last day?
It was an interesting day.
No. That was a fun day. Well, I don't want to say fun, because a lot of people took some pain, Dow being down 317 points. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting.
It was an interesting day, because it really, you can point to a lot of things, but all the things that we knew coming into the day were things that we knew at the end of yesterday.
Yeah, we knew it yesterday, and some of it the last few weeks, the turmoil going on in the world, Russia and those things.
Yeah, in the Middle East.
We know that's been going on a long time.
Yeah.
There was no one thing people would say, oh, this is why.
Yeah, and the Fed came out and made their decision yesterday.
Yesterday.
They had the market a time to react. So,
what made it go down today? And I've said this before. Nothing and everything. It just went down. It went down. It was due to go down, apparently. And that's what the investors and traders did, pushed it down. You can't, on a day-to-day basis, you can't predict what the market will do.
And the media is going to spin it, and this is the reason why, but
they don't really know. Don't believe them.
But it was a very interesting end to the month.
It was.
The Dow erased all the gains for the year today.
It looks like, you look back, this is like that. Remember, that was it 2 weeks ago we were talking about, new high. Everybody's all happy. New high for the S&P, new high for the Dow. Yeah, two, 3 weeks ago. Even then, they looked weak to us. Yeah. It might be a new high, but it was pretty weak.
And it's pretty significant volume.
Today.
Yeah. Most volume we've had on the indexes for a few months. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in up and down California on the radio stations, streaming live, investtalk.com, and in the podcasters, and thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. I guess it's just human nature to believe that some expert somewhere has some kind of formula, some special formula that's going to make you be instantly successful. I have been telling you forever, there is no such thing. No get-rich-quick scheme. We can get rich. I can get you rich, but it's going to be slow. It takes time. And remember all these get-rich formulas? They're all, do you ever notice they're all selling either a seminar or a book or tapes, something, CDs? They're selling. If they could get rich using their formula, why don't they get rich using their formula instead of selling their formula?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Or their software.
I have relatives who believe in every get-rich scheme down the road, and guess what? They're poor. Yeah, it doesn't work. There are no shortcuts.
So you're saying all the ones who want to get rich quick aren't, and all the ones that don't believe in that stuff are.
In my family, that kind of turns out to be so. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be. And I also notice in my family, remember, I have a very large family, okay? We're talking 60, 70 members immediately.
Cousins and
brothers and sisters, brother and sister-in-laws, their children, and even their great grandchildren. Yeah. But their children, most of them are adult. And I have noticed one other thing: the ones who are educated are doing a lot better than those who are not educated. I'm talking about college.
Uh-huh.
Just as an observation, I was talking to Suzanne, my wife, yesterday about this. Did you ever notice that? It's just kind of interesting. And it's not because they have an education either. I've decided that. It has a lot more to do with their belief in being educating themselves. Mm-hmm. That belief makes them smarter.
So it's more about the mindset.
The mindset. Because you don't have to go to college. You can still be rich. But if your mindset is, I'm just going to live and have fun. Everybody wants to live and have fun. But that's all you live for, you're going to be poor.
What about the lazy versus hard workers? Is that kind of the same type of mentality too?
Yeah, there is. Anyway, I guess it's human, everybody, to think you're going to get rich quick, but you're not. There's no shortcuts. There really isn't. And when you do invest, you have to evaluate what you're doing. You have to have a method of evaluation. In other words, you can't just say, well, I'm going to buy this because I like it. No, you got to have a reason other than because you like it or that you read about it or saw it in the news or whatever. That's not a good reason. You got to appreciate what you're investing in. Now, these are things we could talk about. I'd love to talk to you about it. Do you have questions about evaluating performance or stocks or anything like that or managing the risk of your performance? Well, give us a call. Let's go ahead and take a call. Our voicemail, you can call anytime you want, is 888-99-CHART. And here's a call that came in earlier.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. My name is Nick. I have a question about Genworth Financial, ticker symbol GNW. I currently own this stock. Just want to know your thoughts. Thank you.
Okay, this is Genworth Financial out of Richmond, Virginia. Offers life and long-term care insurance, annuities, mortgage insurance in 25 countries. It's a $6.5 billion company. The problem I have with this company is its sales or growth is anemic. And it's $6.5 billion. It's not that big where it shouldn't have better growth.
Yeah, and this yikes, this is scary. It's gone from about 18.5 in May down to, at the close today, $13.10.
If you own this stock, you're having a lot of pain. Okay?
Yes, a lot of pain.
It makes money. Don't get me wrong. It made $1.20 per share last year. It'll make $1.40 this year and $1.60 next year. But it has to be doing that by cutting costs because the growth is just not there. Mm-hmm. Management doesn't own any percentage of shares. Mutual funds have been buyers in the last year. So I'm not sure. To me, I don't like it because I think the chart tells you this is something's wrong.
Yes, this is rolled over hard. And this is a great example of, you know, if you see the chart, but there you could see that there's been a massive MACD convergence. So the stock was making new highs, but the MACD indicator was showing you this was a weak name. And imagine it was earnings yesterday,
I'm sure,
or after hours on Tuesday when earnings came out, and it went from 16 and change on the close of Tuesday down to $14 or so with close yesterday, now down to $13.10 today. So
yeah, it broke the 200-day moving average yesterday sharply.
Sharply, very dramatically, very quickly.
It's just not one you want to be in, I think.
Yeah.
It could stop going down around $12.
Yeah. It's extremely oversold.
Yeah. That's you might get a bounce.
Yes, but this is a name that you want to look about getting out, not holding on.
Yeah, get out on the bounce.
Yeah,
if you get
out on the bounce. Yeah, it's right near support. I would get out if it gets back into the 14 level, 14 and change. That's when I would start selling it.
Investor type casting. What kind of investor are you? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Investor type casting. We're going to get into it, but you have to. One of the things you really need to learn in this business is to understand yourself. Are you emotional? Are you calm? Are you a type A or type B person? For instance, Justin is maybe a little bit more emotional than I am. I'm pretty much a type B guy. But at the same time, then you have to just recognize that. It's not a bad thing to be either. It's just recognize what kind of person you are and understand what it does to you. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about how and when do you claim Social Security benefits. I know, boring, huh? But it's important. So we'll just briefly touch on that. And there was a report on wages rising, and the most recent reports from the government, for the first time in a long time, wages have actually gone up. And that might be another little reason why the market went down. You should ask me why I say that. There is a reason. And 1 in 3 Americans are dogged with debt collection. I don't think I got to that yesterday. Matter of fact, I know I didn't. I want to get to it today. And Justin printed out a very interesting little map of the United States. Income, annual income gain or lost due to interstate migration. In other words, which states have lost money, income, and which states have gained. And this is a survey from like 1999 to 2009, 10 years. Which states are gaining income and which states are losing income because of migration? And this excludes, by the way, just so you know, this excludes, I think they said down here, excludes somewhere in here. We're going to get to it. I'll read that. Here it is. Migrants moving from out of the state, between states, it excludes some of these information. So it's trying to get a real figure is all it's trying to do. Those are things we're going to discuss. Unless, of course, you call and we discuss what's on your mind. This is Invest Talk. Justin Klein and myself, Steve Peasler, are here, are your hosts, and we'd love to talk to you. Here's something to think about. The Dow. The Dow 30 tracks 30 stocks. The Russell 2000 tracks 2,000 small company stocks. Which one tells you more of what you need to know? Can you tell? I'll share my answer during this hour. What's on your mind? You give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to Invest Talk. Steve says in researching a stock you like and you're looking for opinions, search out the analyst who doesn't like the stock and see why. Got questions about researching stocks? 888-99-CHART is how to ask it right now on Invest Talk.
And see, the one of the reasons why I suggest that you always look for someone, if you have an idea and you like it, try to read the opposing opinions of it. Because if you like it, you have a bias. You built in a bias for whatever reason. Maybe it's a justifiable bias. I'm not saying it isn't. But if you really want to analyze it, you have to look at the negative opinions and give that thought. Don't just read it and say, oh, see, that's all wrong. Give it thought. Give it consideration. Let's go to Jack in Oceanside. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, should we be concerned about Argentina defaulting?
Other than the fact that it will have some repercussions to other countries, yes, but not really. It's not going to hurt our economy. It's not going to have anything to do with our economy, but it might upset bond investors and might drive up interest rates.
Well, you have seen yield spreads widen out pretty strongly with junk bonds selling off while treasuries are starting, holding up decently.
Yeah, and junk bond should be selling off. In other words, junk bond interest rates are way too low.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Jack?
Do we know who has exposure to credit default swaps? And how much is outstanding?
Well, there's a lot outstanding, and, it's hard to know because the big banks hold a lot.
Transparency today, who wrote the credit default swaps? Who's at risk of having to pay?
I will say this. If you ask me about transparency, no, there's not much. The Dodd-Graham Act that passed some time ago, everybody thinks that's going to solve this problem with too big to fail. It's not. I think it's pretty much a worthless law so far with very little teeth in it.
So then we can say that derivative contracts are still private contracts between financial institutions, mm-hmm. which they trade on no exchange, and therefore there's no transparency.
I would say that's pretty much true, yes.
So nothing's changed from the financial crisis.
Well, bingo,
it can happen
Jack.
All over again.
Bingo. It will always happen all over again. What do you think? You can go back to the savings and loan debacle in the 70s? Yeah, it always happens over again. Don't be surprised by that.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the beast, Jack. It's the nature of the beast. When you have free economic...
We watched what happened to Merrill Lynch and AIG. They were writing credit default swaps against the possibility of Freddie and Fannie failing. When they failed, guess what? They didn't have the money to pay mm-hmm. the bets they made, and Merrill Lynch and AIG went under.
Yeah, uh-huh. And the government saved it, and here we are back to where we were. It's going to happen again and again, Jack.
Well,
thanks for the
there
call.
There should be an exchange for these things to trade on, and we should know who's making these
Jack,
and what risk and exposure they're taking.
Jack, there's a lot smarter people out there who would think about this, and you and I are not going to solve it. We're just not. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Why not try our premium newsletter for a month, everybody? There will be a new issue every Friday in your email box. Costs less than $10 a month. You can sign up. Just go to investtalk.com. And when you sign up, you can get access to past issues as well. It comes out every Friday. You can check on it right now. Just go to investtalk.com. This is Invest Talk. We're here to help you. And George, hold on. We'll talk about that stock. Bring any money topic to the table. 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. InvestTalk continues on this Thursday. Retirement isn't what it used to be, and that's not a bad thing. Don't miss this topic on the next InvestTalk. What's your question today? Call and ask it right now, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. And George, I thank you for holding on. George San Mateo, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, I'd say hi, guys, and you guys do a great job giving good information and great feedback.
Thank you.
Hey, today was a pretty rough day in the market.
Yep.
A lot of stuff out there roaming around, and I don't know exactly what it is, but I am overweighted in INSY, mm-hmm. and I'm a little bit shaky. I'm hoping you can calm me down and steer me right.
Okay. First of all, don't ever, just for future use, I'm not trying to yell at you or anything, but don't ever get overweighted in any one stock, because what happens is you get really nervous. You know, you get very tense, but, you know what I mean? Because you know it kind of, this one stock can swing you one way or another. Great news if it goes up, really bad news if it goes down. But it is a very good company. Insys Therapeutics, INSY is a symbol, develops supportive care products for breakthrough cancer, pain, and other kinds of things, okay? It has very solid earnings, and it's very solid growth, but it's a very small company. So it's going to be erratic. It's going to be erratic, up and down. It's not overly expensive with the growth rate it has. I mean, sales grew 276% in the last quarter. I don't know what's going to be this quarter. We haven't seen it yet. But it has moved. Go ahead.
My thing on this is, I don't see anybody that I can compare it to in the U.S. And that's one of my positives out of it, besides what they're doing.
Well, it's in the biotech space, so it's naturally just going to be very volatile in relation to the biotech industry. So if the biotech industry is weak, it's going to probably be weak. And the biotech industry is strong, it'll be strong. And recently, though, it looks like it's lagging the overall biotech industry, and which would worry me pretty greatly. So is there a reason you're overweight? Do you just get there on accident, or is it something that you did on purpose?
Yeah, did you buy it at $5 at the IPO price?
No. I've been just researching it, and I like the trend of where the U.S. is kind of going in that direction, and I'm just at this point in time, I'm just wondering if not to get too nervous about it. And just, I'm okay the way it is. I'm overweighted, but I just want to make sure I'm thinking maybe close my eyes and I can see clearer down the road, and you know.
This is not the type of name that you want to just close your eyes on.
Yeah, the close your eyes on names are Johnson & Johnson, ExxonMobil.
Yeah, this is not. And this is, it looks like a pretty bearish pattern to me. I think this is probably going to go lower. You know, there's some minor positives, but it's below the 200-day moving average. It broke it back in May, and it tried to get it back above it at the end of June earlier this month. And it's really failed. And the fact that it hasn't got back above that 200-day moving average, and it was down 10% today.
Earnings are coming out. Have the earnings come out?
No, earnings are coming out. That's the other part of why I'm sticking it out. I think it was some news from inside the company that they will meet their numbers, and that was all it said.
Well, based on today's action, I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like they're not going to. Well, they might meet their numbers, but the analysts are being disappointed.
Yeah, I would be nervous. I would be actually, I would say very nervous, but pretty nervous.
Yeah. be very careful here, Mark, because it's a good, solid company, growing very fast, but it doesn't act. It's not acting like it on the chart.
And with these companies with high earnings growth, high revenue growth, they have one bad earnings report.
Boom!
It can go down 50% in a day.
Here's my question, guys. I don't know why, but it doesn't seem to have exposure to a lot of people like GWPH has exposure to.
What do you mean by exposure?
Exposure meaning institutions, Cramer, you know, those kind of guys.
Well, it's just not on their radar. It doesn't mean that it's more or less risky than those.
Mutual funds own 60% or plus of this. Don't think they're not involved in it. They are. So, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Got to go. Mark, San Francisco. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, great show, guys. Just want to preface it on this one stock thing.
Uh-huh.
I remember Jerry several years ago talking about TBT, the mother of all buys.
Right.
Yeah. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've been around a while.
Yeah.
So I've been slowly getting into TBT the last several months. I've also been going into the VIX the last several months, and it's finally getting paid off, I guess, today.
Now, the VIX is going to be very sharp. You know, it doesn't – when it spikes, it spikes up sharply. So,
like today. It was
And it might go up high, but I wouldn't be surprised if it gives some of that back and, you know, spikes up again some other day. But be very careful.
Yeah, just wait. Just waiting for this volatility in summer to hit, so I see it coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been slowly getting into gold and oil dividend stocks, mm-hmm. and so it's offsetting what some of the other growth plays that I have. So the one is AFOP.
Okay, we're gonna get to AFOP. I'm up against the half hour break. I'm sorry, it's a hard break. I gotta go, but we'll get right after the break. We'll get to it. Okay, so hold on, Mark, if you can. My individual portfolio reviews are a good opportunity for a second opinion, if you like. You can see the latest dates and locations for when I do it. Go to InvestTalk.com. The listener line is always open at 888-99-CHART, and this is InvestTalk.
We continue with Invest Talk. There are many chart patterns that investors and traders use to identify likely moves in the market, and there's a whole list of them to choose from. For Invest Talk insiders, why not sign up for free right there on investtalk.com?
888-99 chart. And Marco, did you hold on for us, or do we can just talk about the stock if you're not there?
No, I'm here. Okay. Okay.
This is Allianz Fiber Optic is what you want to talk about, right? AFOP?
Right.
Okay, that's out of Sunnyvale.
Right.
Manufactures connectors, adapters, multiplexers, splitters, couplers for telecom equipment and service providers. So it's the nuts and bolts. It provides the nuts and bolts for all those things that make those things work. Growing very solidly, but I noticed that the most recent quarter the growth went to 27%, when before that the growth was over 100% the quarter before that. And see, this is one of those small cap stocks, $250 million, and this is what happens if you disappoint. It's still growing, still making money, you know, but it disappoints the experts because, it's only growing 27% when it was growing 100%. This is the problem you have with these small cap stocks.
It's high growth names,
yeah.
Do you own this, or are you just looking to buy it?
No, I got into it at 20, so I'm taking a little bit of a hit on that. Hey, listen, cool. So I think the revenue, I think it was the revenue growth for next year, which is anemic, but this year it's really good. Is that,
yes.
Am I right on it? And the PE drops significantly next year.
Yes.
The forward PE.
True. It's a $13 stock. And they were going to make
$1.29
this year and $1.28 next year. So it's still 11 PE.
And
so,
what you have to realize is the market always looks forward. They don't care. The market cared less about what you did in the past. They don't care at all. They care about what are you going to be doing in the future. And for this company, growth, it looks like it's only going to slow more. And so that's why it's taken a hit from 22 back in May all the way down to 1338 to close today.
Mind you, it's still growing. It's still growing fast. 27% is pretty darn good.
But projections for next year, it means its earnings are going to fall 1%.
Yeah.
So how would you put a value? How would you put a value on it then? How do you get all these numbers and make sense of it?
Well, what you do is it's very difficult for a high growth stock. Other than you know, if they disappoint, they're going to get crushed. No matter how good the growth is, if it disappoints, they're going to get crushed. So what you say is, well, what is the stock really worth? Well, I think the stock is worth probably, you know, if you got, you know, you're going to earn $1.28. It should be worth $13 to $15.
Yeah, I think it's not overvalued by any stretch of the imagination right now. So it just depends on your time frame. It can be undervalued now, but it can keep getting undervalued, especially if the earnings keep getting downgraded for next year, which they continue to do, and the growth rate continues to slow. It will get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper because the market's not going to be putting money into a stock whose growth rate is decelerating and turning negative. So it can be cheap now, but you can be taking a lot more hits than you've already taken.
So if it drops below...
Looking at the chart, what do you think I should do with it?
If it drops below about $12...
Yeah, about $11.50, I would say.
Yeah, somewhere. Get out.
Yeah, there we go.
Just get out.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I've already taken a big hit. So, yeah, I can wait for that easily.
Yeah. So the lows of this year. Watch for those.
Yep. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thanks for holding on. Everybody, I'll tell you this. The stocks that have the very lowest P.E. ratios, like 1, 2, 3, are the stocks that go out of business. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why those P.E.s are those low.
Yeah, and this company, Alliance Fiber Optics, you know, it's a $247 million market cap company. They make these connectors for the telecom industry, but you know what? This is an example of a company that probably doesn't have an economic moat. They probably don't have anything technology-wise that's differentiating themselves from a competitor. So they're going to be in steep competition with their competitors, and over the long term, it's going to be hard for them to really grow at a sustainable pace.
Yeah, the bigger companies that make the same devices, mm-hmm. the ones who can
undercut them
and mm-hmm. put them out of business.
Yep.
See, you got to be real careful with these kinds of things. Yep. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. If you'd like to join them, you can do that. You can subscribe for free on iTunes. If you have a question for us, you can always ask at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. Sharon calling from Denver, Colorado. I just have a question of a mutual fund that I'm pretty heavily invested in, and it's done really well for me. I bought it in 2010, and it's had a nice run. It's Franklin Income Fund, FKINX. I'm kind of wondering, you know, in terms of the market correction, if because it went below the 50-day moving average, kind of what your thoughts were on this, and maybe if I should diversify a little bit out of this fund. So thanks again. You guys rock. Have a great day.
Okay, whenever you look at a mutual fund that says income in it, this is called Franklin Income Fund, symbol FKINX, you want to know where the income's coming from. How is it right? Is it due to dividends? Is it bonds? Is it foreign bonds? Domestic bonds? Are they high quality bonds? Are they low? Are they junk bonds? Where is that income from? Before you can't even decide whether what will happen to it unless you know what it has. How is it driving its income, Justin?
Yeah, so Morningstar is a good place to get that information, at least a lot of basics. And for this particular fund, about 35% is coming from U.S. stocks. Another 35% is coming from bonds, and 13% from non-U.S. stocks, and 14% from other, whatever other is. You know, it could be derivatives, it could be, you know, private placement things, different types of investments. So it looks like primarily it's from large cap companies and bonds. But the big question is, where is it located on the bond side? And it's low duration, meaning it's very short-term bonds, but they're low quality as well. So it's high yield, junk bonds, and that is why this mutual fund is starting to sell off, I think, is because large cap value is selling off the overall market for the past few days, and junk bonds are really taking it on the chin. And it definitely hurts short-term junk bonds when that happens as well. So that's where you're getting that price depreciation recently. Is this something you should really worry about? To me, it wouldn't be on the top of my list. You know, if you have something that's strictly equity focused, it'd be on top of my list, but it is something you should start thinking about.
Yeah, what's your time horizon? See, that's what you should think too.
Yeah.
If you're saying, I love this yield, and it's yielding about 4% or so, and I love that yield, and that's why I bought this, then put that in a drawer and forget about it.
But realize it does have a lot of risk. I mean, 2008, it went from $2.80 a share, then this is a mutual fund, so you know, it closes every day, down to $1.40, so it lost 50%.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a high-risk income play. So don't think there's a lot of safety in this.
No.
So
yeah.
I would definitely reduce your exposure here if you're starting to get worried, because this is not a safe income play. This is a high-risk income play.
Yeah, see, it depends. And that's why it's so very much important to know what they hold and what happens to those equities that it holds in different market environments.
Yeah, and that's a good example for everybody else. You know, if they have a 401k or just an individual account and they hold a mutual fund inside and it says income, like you said, a lot of people say, oh, it's income, it's safe.
Yep.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on where they're deriving that income from and what type of assets they're holding. You remember, a lot of these mutual funds, they have a lot of latitude in what to purchase. And a lot of them take a lot of risk because guess what? When you get return, you get a lot of money in the door.
More people come in.
Yeah. So.
Okay, let's talk about wages. You know, we had a report from the federal government, the GDP report that came in. It was 4% growth. Everybody's all happy thinking, oh, that's great. And then if you look at it a little deeper, you say, hey, income also rose. Wages rose. Great. Up 0.7%. Fastest growth since 2008. This might be why part of the reason why the market sold off today. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute, isn't that good news? Yes, that's good news. But why would rising wages cause the market investors and traders to worry? Because think about inflation. Think about wage inflation. The thought is maybe the employment market is getting tight. And therefore, wages are rising because employers have to attract people with higher wages. And if we're doing that, how far away are we from the Fed raising rates?
Yeah, because they don't want inflation. You know, inflation's already around that 2% level.
That's right. It's already at where they want it to be.
And they talk about one of the reasons why they're not worried about inflation is because the labor market is
weak
and there's not a lot of wage inflation.
So when you see a report yesterday and everybody digests all the parts of it, maybe finally some investors are waking up to the fact that maybe the Fed is going to raise rates sooner than we thought. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they did cut QE again yesterday. But maybe it's going to be months sooner. If the GDP was so strong, maybe they should.
We've got to remember, we only really have 3 more months of QE.
Yeah,
because they now said they're going to cut it to $25 billion, right? And their next meeting is in September. And so they'll do $25 billion this month, or in August, $25 billion in September. The September meeting, they're likely going to cut it to $15. And then they said an October meeting, which is the end of October, they're
going to
get rid of it.
That's what they said.
So we have August, September, October, no more QE. And, you know, that's... And
remember, that's withdrawing liquidity from the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody says, well, that, you know, that's, they're still being very accommodative. Even if they got rid of the QE, they're still very accommodative with 0% interest rates, basically.
Yep.
They're still very accommodative, but it is withdrawing liquidity.
Mm-hmm. And the last two times they ended QE, we had very substantial drops in the market.
Yep. We don't know if it's going to happen this time. And that's one of the reasons why they didn't drop QE. They slowly are cutting it to make it less painful.
Yes, exactly.
Anyways, appreciate the call. Time for InvestTalk 101. Keeping track of our investments is a chore, right? But of course, it is important. So how often should you examine your statements? Some folks look at it every day or week. If you have a short-term investing approach, then that's probably a good idea. If you're a long-termer, then you can sit back and take a more relaxed approach. There are always going to be short-term price fluctuations, always. That's what the market is all about. It doesn't go in one direction, and there's going to be fluctuations. So you don't want to overreact to any one situation. Okay, you just don't. So how often is enough? Well, monthly is a good time to look at your reports. Quarterly is fine. Depends on if you're managing your own assets or you have a trust in someone else managing your own assets. It
depends on your strategy.
Yeah. Are you a long-term investor, short-term? What are you? So you got to decide those things. Okay? And then just then, but you do have to keep an eye on your money. You don't just ignore it. Okay, that's Best Talk 101 for today. If you have questions on this topic or any other money managers, time to check in. You can do it right now at 888-99-CHART. Or you can make a personal note and maybe we can meet you and I. Be happy to do that. Just click on the contact Steve at investtalk.com.
Investing is really about taking what the market gives you. You can't control how the market moves, but you can control your risk levels. A dose of our market perspective from our weekly premium newsletter. A review of the important news events and economic statistics that impact your retirement portfolio. It's less than $10 a month delivered every Friday to your email box. Sign up right now. Give it a try on investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia. What do you guys think of Celanese Corporation? It's C as a Charlie, E as an Echo. The PE looks very low, but I don't know why it's so low. It looks like a good company. What's your thoughts on it? Thanks. Bye.
You know, I find it fascinating that everybody thinks a PE of, you know, 10, 11, 12 is very low.
Yeah, people need to realize that depends on the industry. Some industries trade at a low PE naturally, like the commodities industry, you know, steel industry, and some industries trade at very high PEs, like the tech industry.
And in the history of PEs, the S&P 500 has traded at as low as 7. Mm-hmm. So I want you to, when you say low, make sure you understand what industry you're in, what sector you're in, and is that low for that sector. This is Celanese Corporation. Mm-hmm. Manufactures chemical products, including acetate products and high-performance engineered polymers sold worldwide. Its growth rate is slow, in the middle digits, 6-7% for sales. Earnings are going to be up 18% this year, but only up 1% next year. Have you noticed a trend that next year's earnings are seem to be coming in less than this year's growth rate, anyways? So it's at a 12 PE. Well, $5.39 stocks, and it's a $58 stock. $58 stock. So it's going to be at 11 PE based on next year's earnings. Well, is that low? Pays a 1.7% dividend, has a great return on equity. It's a good, solid company.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good, solid company. It's had pretty steady growth over, you know, since 2009. It had a big drop from 2008 to 2009, but a lot of companies did as well. But it, what it shows you is that this is a very cyclical company. So you have to decide, okay, you found a good company, but where are we going economically? Is this the beginning of a substantial drop in the market? If so, this stock will go down much, much more than it already has. It's already gone from 66 at the beginning of the month down to 58 at the close today. So that's a pretty big drop. It's a 11-12% drop in just a month. So, and it doesn't look, it's coming near support, but it can go much lower if the market continues to sell off. So it depends on your time horizon. If you're just looking long term as a great company, sure, it's a great company to own. Is it super cheap? I wouldn't say it's super cheap.
But it's reasonable.
It's reasonable, yeah.
So a long-term basis, you can hold it.
Yeah, but odds are if the market continues to sell off, this will sell off much, much more dramatically.
And in the next recession, this will take a dive.
Exactly. So, you know, and in that case, I would like to buy it probably closer into the low 40s instead of, you know, the high 50s where it's at now.
Manu wants to talk about TBT, Manu, but we got to do it after this break. So if you hold on, we'll definitely get to you. If you have a money question on your mind, get to me before the end of the show. Be happy to talk to you. We have just enough time for you to call 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Steve and Justin want you to know that you can think of them as a ready resource for answers. They devote a portion of their day to communicating with our listeners. And if you have a question that you'd like an answer to directly, maybe you don't want to ask it on the podcast, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
and they'll get you an answer. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour about your money. What life insurance is best for you? Is a regular or Roth IRA better for your age? Check in right now and ask your question as we move into the final segment, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Manu and Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I'm basically calling regarding TBT.
Interesting.
I'm short on that for some long time. I'm wondering, today it broke, basically, with the market trend. So what do you think? I was thinking to go long at 50. It's today it's only up today and yesterday. So can you see if it's going to go up with the rates or what?
What he's talking about, everybody, is we talk about the direction of interest rates. And this is TBT is the exchange-traded fund, which is the which is twice the inverse performance of the 20-year Treasury.
Yeah, so it will go up when interest rates, interest rates on the long end, the 30-year,
go up.
And so far, you're short this stock, this ETF?
Yeah, I'm for some time. So yeah. Yes, I was thinking to wait till 50 as people market will drop, so this will drop as well, and then it will start moving up and break the market. It's only 2 days. It has broken trend with the market yesterday and today.
Yeah. Well, I think that has more to do with the Fed announcement. I think that one of the reasons why interest rates have gone down so far this year is because of the net issuance. The government deficit has been lower than expected, and therefore they've been issuing less treasuries than expected. And with the Fed buying treasuries and the demand in the marketplace, naturally interest rates have dropped. Well, that's kind of reversing here in the second half, whereas now all the tax revenue's been in. We're not going to get much tax revenue in on the federal government, and now we got to issue a lot of new treasuries, and the Fed is tapering even more. So I think you're going to actually see you're going to be at a fight where interest rates want to go up because of those reasons, but if the market sells off, there's going to be money flooding in to safe haven. So you're going to have a fight there. So I think I'm kind of neutral on the interest rates right now.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to go up anytime. The long-term interest rates are going to rise, but short-term, they've already come down this year, and now they're starting to come back up a little bit, and I don't see them being dramatically higher by the end of the year. But
yeah, or dramatically lower,
I don't think either. Yeah, neither way.
So I think I would just cover your short, hold your, and make yourself. Pay yourself, mate. Take your profits and
be happy.
Be happy, and when you see a trend change from the interest rates, then you can jump on it again. But until then, I think this drop in interest rates so far this year, there's not much more left, I don't think.
Yeah, Manny, thanks for the call.
Can I ask one more question?
No, we got one other caller, and I need the time to get to it. But thanks, you can call tomorrow. Thank you, Manny. Let's go to David in San Diego. How you doing, David?
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I got a question. I have a deferred compensation with the government,
uh-huh.
Which I have money in there going allocated for that every month. But then I also have on my own, I purchased stocks. Mm-hmm. It sounds like maybe perhaps interest rates might be rising, and I'm wondering if I should change my portfolio if interest rates rise and bonds may be more attractive, or just continue what I'm doing, because I was a little fearful of what happened today. A lot of my stocks that I bought on my own seemed to fall quite a bit. And
yeah,
I do have two stocks that I was – go ahead.
Interest rates rising means your bond funds will go down in value. That's not good.
Oh, that's – yeah.
Yeah. With interest rates, yeah. Try to remember that. It goes in the inverse of the direction of interest rates. And as Justin and I said, I think interest rates will rise. Definitely they will rise long term.
Yeah.
Okay, but the rest of this year, I'm not convinced that they're going to go up. They probably will leak up, just slowly creep up if they do anything.
Yeah, I would say I would reduce your exposure to equities. We did a little bit of that today for our clients. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you're going to get it, you want to be safer, try to get into short-term bond funds, but make sure they're not high yield. Make sure they're high quality, they're high-grade corporate bonds or treasuries.
David, thanks for the call. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Before we close for the day, a reminder to sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program. You can access our special info sheets on subjects like understanding life insurance. Got to understand that stuff. Thanks for listening today. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, along with Portfolio Manager Justin Klein. And, of course, everyone at KPP Financial, we want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.